Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We both watched the New England Patriots get their hats handed to them. There's no doubt about it. They got knocked on their behinds and beaten soundly by a very good Jacksonville Jaguars team. But I cannot believe, Rob Parker, that you are ready to tell me and America that the New England Patriots of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are done.
I'm going to tell you they're done. Look, I know people want to believe, oh, no, the Patriots every year, all these football analysts, you know what they do? They pick the Patriots to go to the Super Bowl every year.
There's
regardless.
There's a reason why.
No, but the difference here, though, is you saw on Sunday, there's a new sheriff in town, and everybody keeps disrespecting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Don't forget, Chris, last year they had a 20-10 lead in Foxborough in the fourth quarter. Bartles couldn't get the big first down that they needed to keep it going. The defense had to stay.
Bartles, and who's there? Did they get a new quarterback?
Did you watch him yesterday with four touchdowns?
Oh, he was great yesterday.
Okay.
I'm not as down on Blake Bortles. I think he gets a bad rap. Look, he's not great. He's not spectacular.
When you have a defense like that,
I don't think he's as bad as everybody says.
But when you have a defense like that, you don't need for him to be spectacular. You need him to make the throws that they need him to make. They need him to not turn the ball over, give it to the other team. And basically, if you could do that with the defense that they got going, they totally shut down the Giants, right? Only scored in week one, right? Just had a run. Saquon Barkley.
The Giants are handicapped.
I'm just saying, but they were up in this game here, and they had the Patriots on their heels the whole game. Tom Brady, what they have, 3 points at the half? I mean, that's how good this defense is.
Well, 21-3 at the half, 24-3 at one point in the third quarter. Look, I'm willing to give you that Jacksonville should be the favorite in the AFC. Kansas City has looked great. I mean, shout
out
to Patrick
Mahomes.
Their defense, right?
No. It's called Andy Reid. That's the problem
I
have.
Hey, Andy Reid is always there.
He can't win a big game.
His teams are always there. Well, he hasn't been able to. I'll give you that. But at some point, he might get it done. I like Kansas City. Their defense is weak. I'll give Jacksonville the edge. But you're telling me the Patriots have no chance.
I didn't say no chance.
Said they're dead. They're done.
Like, I just think
all I'm saying is they still got a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I'm not buying that.
Jacksonville's the favorite. So they got no chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. They're doing it with tape and mirror and then glue and all kinds
of
stuff.
They always do.
No, but this
when
is
Rob Gronkowski went out 2 years ago, nobody thought they could win the Super Bowl without arguably the best tight end of all time. And what they do? They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's
this
a couple years ago. No, that train is has already left the station. People are so caught up. Tom Brady's 40 years old. Go look at 41 years old.
He
go
was
look
40
at,
last year. Go Nobody had ever played like that at 40.
Yes, Brett Favre played exactly like that. Chris, go look
Did
at the numbers.
Did he win the MVP?
He didn't win the MVP, but he had identical numbers. Identical. And I'll get them for you. They had
I'm sure
identical.
He had a lot more interceptions.
No.
You know
I'm
Favre
giving you
had
no.
a lot more interceptions.
He had a great year at 40, but then 41 he fell off the cliff. And all I'm saying is Tom Brady's not going to be the same guy. We know the news of the day, Josh Gordon, right? There was a trade. Cleveland
that could
traded
be
him.
Huge. That could they need somebody. They need a deep threat.
They're counting
that
on a guy who can't get
the
on the
reason,
field.
The reason Jacksonville could shut them down yesterday, and by the way, New England scored 17 points in like the last quarter and a half.
No, those
outscored Jacksonville 17-7.
Those were fraudulent points. Those are what I called on the StatPadford Index.
A few plays here or there.
No.
A few plays here or there,
weren't.
And they would have put a scare into Jacksonville. And here's the thing.
You're
they were able
for that,
to
Chris.
Double. They were able to double Gronkowski because they had no other threats. Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan. Now you got Josh Gordon. And I admit, it's a risk. We'll see what you – but let me say this. If Josh Gordon wants to play football anymore, then he has got to take advantage of this. I'm telling you, if he wants to play football and has any degree of self-control, he will make this work. This is a gift from heaven to Josh Gordon. You're sitting there in Cleveland with a starting quarterback. All due respect to Tyrod Taylor, great leader, a kind of a winner and all that, but he's not a great quarterback. And you got, he's not a passing quarterback. You got a rookie in Baker Mayfield. He wasn't going to have much of a year. Now you go to New England with Tom Brady. You could get to the Super Bowl. This could be great for them, but even without Josh Gordon. I mean, Rob, we've seen this happen before. Last year, week one, the Patriots gave up 42 points and lost to Kansas City. Week four, they lost to Carolina. They were 2-2. And then all of this drama toward the end of last year, Alex Guerrero, Brady versus Belichick. I mean, it was a mess, and all they do is get to the Super Bowl and almost win it. I mean, come on, man. There is no way you can count this team out. No way.
I'm counting them out, and this whole thing that they always revive some player and grab somebody off the scrap heap, and they're going to come and play the Patriots way and turn into a world beater, as you think Josh Gordon will. I'll give you the misses. Chad Ochocinco played for the Patriots too, and that didn't work out. Do you remember that? Oh yeah, he's going to go with Tom Brady. He's going to be all world, all pro. How about Albert Haynesworth? How did that work out? Did Bill Belichick rehabilitate him and get something out of him? How about Michael Floyd? It doesn't always work. I know that there were some players.
Conveniently, yeah, you conveniently leaving out the makes. How about Randy Moss? How about Corey Dillon? How about LeGarrette Blount? Come on, man.
I know, but also, even Randy Moss, after that monster season, he flamed out in New England. All I'm telling you is I'm not buying that Josh Gordon is some magical elixir. This guy has missed 75% of the games he's been eligible to play. I'm not so sure he's going to go to New England and day one of practice, he might come late. And Bill Belichick will say, okay, that didn't work. Just trust me. I'm not convinced he's going to be there come the end of the season because he's on a short leash and he hasn't proven that he's that guy who can conform and do what's possible. So, Chris, before you get all excited and get worked up about a guy who couldn't even stay on the Browns after they bent over backwards for him for the last 3 years. That's all they've done for him.
He wanted out. He was smart. This was okay. His way of getting out. I'm starting to think this was a genius move by Josh Gordon. And maybe there was tampering on the part of the Patriots who reached out and said, hey, man, we need you. I don't know, but I'm not basing my argument on Josh Gordon. I'm saying, first of all, it is ludicrous to count out the Patriots. All they do is win. Alex, hit me with that drop, man. All they do is win. You know that.
Alex is panicking. He's going like, you know what? Hey, he's panicking.
You know that, but you know, Rob, beyond that, all they do is win. All the other contenders, they're only a handful. They're only a handful in the AFC. Jacksonville, yeah, they look great, but they still got Blake Bortles. There it is. Blake Bortles at quarterback. Okay, they still got that. Don't forget that. Kansas City, no defense. Pittsburgh's a mess. That's it. Every team in the AFC is flawed. So you can't tell
including
me the Patriots
including
got no,
the Patriots.
They are. Patriots. They are. I'm not saying they're not flawed because their defense is shoddy for sure.
Last year they were like 24th in defense. They got shredded in the Super Bowl by
and
a backup quarterback.
But they got there. No, but they got there.
I'm just telling you, they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. It's fraudulent that people think the Patriots are still the same Patriots. It's not the case. And all I'm telling you is Josh Gordon did not change that today. I hate to break the news to people in New England, but that's not the case.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We couldn't really ask for a better guest coming off of yesterday's action of Ndidi Westbrook, the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver. You can follow him on Twitter at Ndidi, D-E-D-E, the Great 11, at Ndidi, the Great 11. Ndidi, welcome to the Odd Couple.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Appreciate it. I just want to say, to state the record, that I bet Skip Bayless, and I gave the Patriots 13 points that you guys would win. That's how confident I felt about Jacksonville. How did you guys feel coming into that game? Was it a revenge game from last year's AFC Championship, or just a regular game that you knew you guys could compete and beat the Patriots?
I mean, of course, we've been knowing since last year that we were the better team, and we just had some mistakes last year that pretty much cost us, and we knew that New England was going to capitalize on every missed opportunity that we had. And so, like I said, going into the game, we knew we were the better team, and no, we didn't see it as a revenge game. We just pretty much went out there and stayed focused and locked in throughout the week and played mental error free.
Didi, I mean, you guys had your way with their defensive backfield, their defense in general, but, you know, obviously Bortles threw for over 300 yards. You and the other receivers had great games. Did you guys see something during the week in your study or even from last year that you knew you could exploit, or did it kind of come as a surprise to you that you guys were able to run over them the way you did in the passing game?
Oh, no, we knew that we were going to pretty much have our way with the defensive backs. The reason being is because we went from the tape from last year all the way up until, you know, when we played them this year, we try to find the weakest receiver or the weakest defensive back. And, of course, we played on that, and when we found him, we pretty much took advantage of him.
What about that catch by Keelan Cole? Can you please – was that an unbelievable catch? If anybody hasn't seen that, you got to go and look it up on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Tell me, what did you make of that as a receiver seeing a guy make a grab like that?
I mean, the thing with Cole, or I call him Cole, the thing with Cole is that we pretty much practice, you know, one-hand attempts in practice. Some of us make those catches. Some of us don't. You know, but
you and that, Cole, you and that us?
What are you, which one are you in? Yeah. Them?
Not necessarily making those catches. and if I do, it's not going to be the way Cole made it. But like I said, like we kind of practiced that. But the way he did that, as far as like grabbing the ball out the air with one hand, through traffic, holding it by the nose all the way up to the tuck, of course, that was unbelievable.
That was sweet.
And, when I saw that, all I could do was whistle.
Didi, I want you to be honest right here, because I'm watching these catches. I mean, you're right. That Colt catch yesterday, that was on par with the Odell Beckham
it
catch.
It was. You know what? That catch was out cold.
It just wasn't a touchdown. That was the only difference. Yeah. But, look, we're seeing all these one-handed catches now. And I did some research on these gloves that y'all are wearing now. I was a receiver in high school. And
don't
wish
bring up
I
that, please.
I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering, tell me honestly, what are these gloves like? I mean, because you can't make one-handed catches like this with no gloves like this, right?
I mean, you got a point. The gloves just pretty much give you a little extra grip, but ain't no little
just
boy
a
out
little?
There making. Yeah, but ain't no little boy out there making them type of catches with gloves on.
We've seen a few little tapes here and there of some high school guys, and I saw something yesterday with like a, I don't know if it was Pop Warner or something, but I'm not taking anything away from you guys because I know it's still not easy. But this is unbelievable because I'm watching this stuff and saying, wait, are these dudes that much better than Lynn Swan and Michael Irvin and John Jefferson and Chris Carter, who weren't making one-handed catches like this?
Man, look, like I said a minute ago, I'm on the side with you as far as me not making them catches so often. So me being a current NFL receiver, I'm trying to figure out what it is that they're doing so I can make those catches as well.
You need to check on your gloves.
There you go. All right, we're talking with D.D. Westbrook of Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver on Twitter. It's at D.D. the Great 11, and I want to ask you about your quarterback, Blake Bortles. You know, people rip on him all the time. You guys got to the AFC Championship game. He played well. Maybe it could have been another play or first down or something in the fourth quarter of that game in New England. But he played lights out last night. Tell me why you guys believe in him, and can he get you there? Can he make those throws that you need in the big game this year?
Oh, most definitely. We have all the faith in the world in Blake. And the reason being is because the chemistry that we develop, that's both on and off the field. You know what I mean? Like, we pretty much trust him the same way he trusts in us. You know, for him to be able to just step back and throw the ball to us the way that he do, you know, and considering the fact that we're young receivers and just him having that faith in us, you know, that it means a lot. You know what I mean? And for him, like, he's one of those guys that's always uplifting us. You know, when something don't go our way or we don't get the call we want, you know, it's easy for any person to just jump ship or say anything negative or, you know, something in that manner. But as far as Blake goes, like, he's just very encouraging, you know, always ready to play the next play and, of course, be great. And he got a little trash talk with him, and, of course, that's swag. We like that.
Well, speaking of trash talk, you got Jalen Ramsey on the other side of the ball. What is it like to go against him in practice? Is he talking as much trash in practice and all that?
Nah, not really. He don't really talk trash like that, you know. And it's good and it's great, honestly, to go against both A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey. The reason being is because they make the games on Sunday that much easier. You know, like, whenever you playing against the best defensive backs in the game, you literally get in the game and it's like a cakewalk. You know, not taking anything from anybody else. It's just like we literally have the best defense in the NFL. And so whenever you're playing against those guys consistently every single day, then you go out there on Sunday and we go back to the sideline and be like, man, look, it's tougher in practice. You know, and I don't know if that's because we're ready to play or is it, of course, we're going against those guys doing one-on-one drills, you know, different things like that, and them coaching us up as we coaching them up as well.
Before the season started, I picked the Jaguars and Philly in the Super Bowl. How shocked would you be if you guys aren't in the Super Bowl, considering that you went to the AFC Championship game last year and obviously you're off to a 2-0 start and your defense is still good? How surprised would you be if you don't make it there?
I mean, we'll pretty much be very surprised. You know, the reason being is because we put all the hard work in. We're steady putting in hard work. You know, it's just week two. But at the end of the day, we are just looking at it as a group, and we just taking it one practice at a time, one game at a time. And after you continue to stack those days up, eventually we'll be there and we'll be able to compete with whoever it is in front of us.
Didi, man, great job. Thanks for joining us on the iCouple, man. Continue to have a great season.
All right, thank you so much,
yes,
for having me.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the knowledge.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's a Super Bowl champion coach. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. And he's an analyst on NBC Football Night in America. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony Dungy. Tony, it's great to have you on the iCouple. Welcome.
Hey, what do you say, guys?
Appreciate it. And he's a Michigander, so he's a good guy in the book.
Yes.
We already know that, Tony.
Well, Tony, I apologize for this, but I was reading an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune this week, and I saw that you used to be a quarterback when you played at the University of Minnesota, which I apologize. I didn't even know. I always knew you were a defensive back in the NFL. Then when you got drafted in the league, they switched you to defensive back because, you know, that's what they did with African-American quarterbacks in those days. How tough was that to, you know, have been a good quarterback and led the Big Ten in passing and obviously felt like you could do that in the NFL, you know, to get switched like that? What was that experience like?
It was a tough pill, and this is late 70s, 1977, and I had led the Big Ten in passing a couple of times and, you know, worked out for all the scouts in the spring and had people talking to me, and I felt I was going to get drafted, and I didn't get picked. But that's kind of the way it went back then. Some of the guys that I looked up to, Chuck Ely is a name that not many people would know. He played 3 years at the University of Toledo, never lost a game, and didn't get drafted. He went to Canada and won the Grey Cup as a rookie, and that's kind of the way things went. Conrad Holloway was a great player at the University of Tennessee. Same thing, went up to Canada, became an all-star. My senior year, I played a game. I was quarterbacking for Minnesota. Warren Moon was quarterbacking the University of Washington. He led the Pac-8 at that time in passing. Warren was the MVP in the Rose Bowl. I didn't get drafted, and, you know, I had a chance to go to Canada and play. Warren same way, he did not get drafted. He went up there and won five Grey Cups with Edmonton. And there was a thought that Marv Levy was the coach of the Montreal Alouettes at the time. Bill Polian was the general manager, and they had my rights, and they talked to me about coming up, and hey, you'll get to play your natural position. But something the Lord, I think, Chris, just had in my heart, I wanted to play with the best. So I went to the NFL, switched positions, and played safety, and it worked out for me.
Wow, and we're talking Tony Dungy about this because quarterback Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes has done something no one's ever done, which is throw 10 touchdown passes in his first two games. Tell me about him. How surprised are you with his start?
Well, I didn't know a whole lot about Patrick. I just knew that Kansas City made a move to get him last year. He didn't play, but Andy Reid was so high on him, and I know Andy loved Alex Smith, and Alex Smith took them to the playoffs several times, and Andy made that trade feeling like, you know, I've got this young man who's ready to go. So that told me he had a lot of confidence in Alex Smith, and in Patrick. And if you remember, it was kind of the same scenario. Donovan McNabb had taken Philadelphia to the Super Bowl, played a lot, was playing well, and Andy Reid said, you know what, I'm going to make the move and go to Michael Vick because I think he gives us a little more explosion. And this was the same thing. So I knew he had confidence in Mahomes, but I never expected a young guy to play like this. Two games on the road, just lighting it up, making very few mistakes, playing like a 10-year vet.
Tony, we saw, you know, speaking of quarterbacks, the pivotal moment in the Minnesota-Green Bay game when Clay Matthews sacks, or not sacking, but hits Kirk Cousins on a play where Cousins threw an interception, and he's whistled for roughing the passer. It changed the game. What did you think about that hit? And do you, Clay Matthews said after the game he thinks we're going overboard in protecting the quarterbacks. What are your feelings on that?
Well, you have to get a scouting report on the officials, and you have to know your referees. Tony Corrente called that, but he called one on the Vikings earlier in the game, very similar. And we would always have to talk to our defensive players based on the referee that you had. You know, it's just like balls and strikes. Some umpires are pitchers' umpires, some umpires are hitters' umpires, and you've got to adjust with the flow. I think it's a ticky-tack call myself, but this is the way Tony Corrente was calling them. He called them early in the game. Clay Matthews has to know, if I get close, I'm probably going to get called. So you've got to take it easy in that situation.
Tony, a couple other quarterbacks I want to know about. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. Give me a scouting report on him. Is he going to be a quarterback in his league? Some people don't think he's good enough to be a quarterback in his league, and others think that he has potential.
I was at the Hall of Fame game, and I talked to John Harbaugh and Marty Morningwig, the quarterback coach at Baltimore. They love him. They say his work ethic is tremendous. They say, you know, the doubts that everyone had was, could he make the tight throws in the NFL? They believe he can. They think he has instincts, all the things you need. He's going to, you know, sit for a year behind Joe Flacco, but they like him. And I would liken it to the Patrick Mahomes situation. Everything I'm hearing is they love this young man. He's going to back up Flacco for a while, but they think he's going to be a star.
We got a lot of rookies, you know, that have come in recently and played right away, and now you have Sam Darnold doing it. Mahomes sat for a year and seems to have benefited, at least so far. Do you still think that ideally you would sit a guy, no matter how good he is, you would basically sit him for a year so he can learn, or do you think now these guys are so good that you can throw a lot of them in right away?
I think it's always best, Chris, for the player, the quarterback, to play. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. And if you're mentally tough, then you grow through it and you improve. Now, it's not always best for the team. And if you got a situation like Kansas City where Andy Reid said, hey, we've got a playoff team, and I've got a good quarterback. If I put Patrick Mahomes in as a rookie, maybe he's going to make some mistakes that cost us a game or two, and that's going to be the difference between us making the playoffs or not. So you have to weigh that. But I always think guys improve by playing. Peyton Manning played every snap his rookie year. The team went 3-13. He threw more interceptions than any rookie quarterback ever, but he learned from that situation. Carson Wentz played, you know, his whole rookie year. had the ups and downs. In his second year, he was fantastic. Patrick Mahomes didn't play. He watched and learned. It was good for him. But I'm not sure he wouldn't have been even better had he gotten a chance to play.
Tony Dungy joining us on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, of course, Super Bowl champion coach, NBC Football Night in America analyst. You can get him on Twitter, at Tony Dungy. Deshaun Watson in Houston, the second year, once people have time to look at you and look at tape or film, has anything changed, or do you expect him to continue what he started a year ago before he got hurt?
I think he's going to be great, but we have to realize that he's still less than a year off ACL surgery. And, yes, it's not like a receiver or a running back, but he's still, I don't think, quite as comfortable as he was last year. I think he's going to be fine. It'll be interesting to see Carson Wentz come back and play this week. You know, again, less than a year off ACL surgery. That's not easy. And Deshaun hasn't looked like himself. He hasn't been that explosive guy who just burst on the scene last year. But he's going to play well, and I think by the end of the year, you're going to see the same Deshaun Watson that you saw last year.
Tony, do you think, when you look at the situation in Pittsburgh, you obviously have Le'Veon Bell sitting out. Do you think he's doing the right thing? I mean, I know the coach in you would say he should probably come and play, but, you know, where do you stand on this? He's trying to say he doesn't want to, you know, put himself in harm's way and maybe get injured, you know, before he becomes a free agent next summer. Where do you stand on that?
He's making a business decision. And for me, I think you have to balance business with being a good teammate and all those things and trying to win. I know exactly where he is, and you have to admire him. He is using the collective bargaining agreement just the way it's drawn up. He can come in week 10, play those last 5 weeks, and if he is willing to give up $850,000 a game for the right to just be a free agent next year and try to get that big payday, that's the way the collective bargaining agreement is set up. So we can't begrudge that. I don't know that I would do that personally, but I can certainly see that. He's seen running backs come in. He saw Dalvin Cook come in and play great for 3 weeks last year and tear his ACL. And he could say, hey, if that's me without the long-term contract, I'm costing myself money down the road. Again, it's a business decision. I can't begrudge him that.
Last thing from Tony. Let's settle this for once and for all. Who is the best quarterback in the NFL? Is it Tom Brady or is it Aaron Rodgers? And we're not talking about, because I think that the argument people have is, Tom Brady, to me, is the most accomplished. But who's the best quarterback you've seen? Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen in my 54 years on earth. Who's the best quarterback out of those two?
Well, if you look at it, they both do some unbelievable things. You know, I would lean towards Aaron Rodgers because of the mobility. I always had a tougher time defending those quarterbacks who, when you did everything right and they moved around and made the play. That's what Aaron Rodgers brings you. He's careful with the football. You know, Tom Brady has those clutch moments. So if I were asked that question, who am I going to have if I've got a great defense and everything's the same, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers because of the mobility.
Tony, I
but
know
I'd love
you're
to have Tom Brady a quarterback.
You wouldn't throw him back, right? Look, I'm intrigued. I'm still intrigued by you playing quarterback in college. And I read that you said you kind of played like Fran Tarkenton. So I know you're humble, but I want to ask you honestly, how do you think you would have played in the NFL as a quarterback? You know, what type of career you think you might have been able to have?
I don't know that I would have had a great career because at that time we didn't have people that thought outside the box. And there were all those guys could have done some wonderful things. They could have been Russell Wilson before Russell Wilson. But we didn't have coaches that thought that way. Now you've got these coaches that say, hey, I see Russell Wilson play. I see Robert Griffin play. I see Deshaun Watson play. I'm going to put in some of these plays and let them create like they did in college. And then you're seeing the magic. Charlie Ward, I thought, would have been Joe Montana if someone had said, you know what, I'm going to turn this my franchise over to him and just let him win games. He had the same attributes Montana had. We weren't ready for that back then. If Charlie Ward came out now, there'd been a bidding war, and someone would have drafted him with the first or second pick in the draft, and he'd have been special as a quarterback. So it's just a different game now.
Tony, I don't want to say how old you are or anything, but when you were quarterbacking, did they have laces on the ball still?
They did. Now, we didn't throw in touch to these guys, too, and it certainly wasn't the same thing. But I will tell you this, 1975 and 76 at the University of Minnesota, Tom Moore was my offensive coordinator. We ran the same no-huddle offense we ran in in Indy when Tom was my coordinator taking us to the Super Bowl. The ball was in the quarterback's hands. The quarterback made all the decisions, and I loved it and loved that aspect of it. We had a lot of guys doing that back then. And as I say, Chuck Ealy, to me, again, that's a name nobody's heard about it. Monster quarterback at Toledo. Never lost a game. And, you know, as a young player, I'm watching him as a high school player, and I think, well, isn't that what quarterbacking is all about? We say winning. You know, we say Tom Brady's the greatest because he won so much. Chuck Ealy won every game he ever played and didn't get drafted because we said he didn't fit the prototype.
Wow. Wow. Well, Tony, great history lesson and great stuff on today's league, of course. Thanks for joining the iCouple.
And thanks for being a good sport. That was funny. Thanks, Tony.
Hey. Always good being with you guys. And I just wish you the best on this show. Sounds like it's going to be great.
Well,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We saw something unprecedented on Sunday. And I'm not talking about Patrick Mahomes throwing 6 touchdown passes or Ryan Fitzpatrick looking like Tom Brady. I'm talking about Vontae Davis, the 2-time All-Pro defensive back who retired. Nothing wrong with retiring. But he retired at halftime with his team down 28-3 to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Holy cow.
He retired at halftime, Rob. And you, unbelievably, are going to defend him.
I just think that, you know what, when you've had enough, you just walk out. It doesn't matter where you are. There are people who have walked out of restaurants or jobs where they're just done. And it's not about waiting till the end of the game. I'm done. And when you're done, Chris, you know what you do? You pack up your stuff and you're on your way out the door. I don't care if there's a line full of people. People have quit restaurants, running the
that
register.
That don't make it right.
I'm just telling you.
How about a little professionalism?
No.
Look, I would rather, if he's out there on the field, as he said, or as he implied, and thinking, man, this is no longer for me. I don't know if he got a hard hit or, I think he said that he's kind of been thinking about it for weeks. And, you know, the last place you want somebody that's out there and their heart is not in it is on a football field. It's too dangerous to be out there hesitant and second guessing yourself and maybe even a bit scared if you feel like you no longer have the heart for it. So I'm fine with him essentially retiring or stop playing at halftime. My thing is, you didn't have to get dressed in your street clothes and leave. Leave the field. Leave the stadium. I would have liked to have seen him. You go to a coach and you say, look, coach, I'm done. I can't go back out there. I'm not feeling it. You know, put somebody else in. I'm no good to you right now. And you sit on the sidelines or you stand on the sidelines in your uniform and you cheer on your team. Even if you have to tell the coach, I'm actually going to retire after the game. You stay there in your uniform and you cheer on your team because especially when they're getting blasted the way they were, it just is not professional. That's all I'm saying. I'm fine with him quitting. I'm just saying, do it in the way that's right and support your teammates.
Chris, you are living in some fantasy world. You are. And I'm going to give you the perfect example. There have been players who have made the team and are on the bus to go to the airport for the first game, and they come in and go, hey, you in the back there, number or whatever, come here, come off the bus, and have taken people off the bus and cut them while they thought they made the team right then and there. You could have said, well, why would they do that? No, when it's all over, it's all over.
You could, but you're talking management.
No,
you're saying,
but I'm
look,
talking
what's
about
good for the goose is good for the gander.
Absolutely.
Management's going to rip play. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But this is your teammates.
He didn't just,
you know, walk out on management and the coaching staff.
The game
staff.
Was
I
over.
Get what
he wasn't
going
to do anything.
No,
it was
halftime. First of all, it ain't about them coming back and winning, which we know they wouldn't have done.
When you're done,
just
you're done.
Just support the guys you've been in the trenches with. That's all I'm saying. They would have understood if after the game you was like, man, guys, I've had enough. 10 years is enough for me. But you stay there and you support them
I
on
can
the
respect
sidelines.
A person who says, you know what? I'm not going to waste your time or my time. Dude, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here for
what?
One more minute.
Announce it then at halftime. When the coaches are giving you the game plan, you stand up and say, coach, hold on. I got something to say. Guys, I'm sorry, but I'm done. I don't have a heart for it anymore. I'm done. Like
Chris, when he was in the shower at halftime, I think that tells you
I only saw the quotes from one of the teammates, Lorenzo.
They
Adams,
said he was showered and got dressed. I mean, what is he doing?
But say it then. Say it to, like, announce. I mean, come on, man. Rob, I can't believe I'm not fine with him walking away. I don't want him to get hurt out there.
When you're ready
but
to go.
But you gonna tell me that was cool?
When you're ready to go, you're ready to go. And we'd love to hear.
I hope you never ready to go from the iCouple.
When I'm ready to walk out of here, I'm out. Or they'll just come and put me out.
Leave, man.
But if you want to chime in, do you think Vontae Davis owed his teammates anything? Or would you have just walked out like Vontae Davis did? Our telephone number, 877-99 on Fox. Here's your chance to join the Odd Couple. Pick your side. Are you with me? Are you with Chris? You think he did something wrong, or you would have walked out as well? And have you ever walked out on a job in the middle of it and just said, I'm done, and I want no more
of it? Have you?
Have I ever walked out on a job and
would you? See? No, you would not.
No, I didn't say I would.
If in the middle of this show you just had enough, you can't tell me you would just get up and go in the middle of the show.
I can't say that.
No, you wouldn't.
Because I have a contract.
You would respect me enough to say I'm going to finish out this show. And that's all I'm saying. No, Davis should have done with his teammates.
But all I'm saying
is, he's probably tight with some of those guys.
When you're done, you're just done. You don't really want to be there. And I could see, with that organization, where it's going, what's happening, just probably one day just said, you know what, at that moment, it just hits you, Chris, and you go, I can't.